Here's Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Jill Midfield, Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Jim, this is the greatest idea I've ever had. Why I didn't spend money on a publicity agent years ago. I tell you, Jim, publicity is the only thing that keeps an artist on top nowadays. Pure talent is not enough.
Well, yours certainly isn't, I must say. Frankly, Bentley, don't you think that this sort of deliberate self-advertisement is a bit, shoddy?
Do you think I like doing it, Jim? You should know me better than that. A more self-effacing, modest person never lived. Don't I spend 90% of my time assuring people that I'm not all that wonderful?
Then why are you going in for this?
A man gets tired of lying. Besides, Jim, I'm sure it's simply this lack of publicity that held me back. Do you realize I'm the only world-famous comedian nobody's ever heard of? Well, I've just got to get my name in front of the public.
The public what?
There you go again. The British public.
There you go again.
No. I'm telling you, Jim, I could break my leg in four places and who'd be interested?
Well, I would, for one. I like a good laugh.
Unfortunately, it's the man in the street who's got to be made Bentley conscious. So, Jim, will you help me do it?
All right, Bentley, get me a sledgehammer.
I'm not talking about breaking my leg. I mean, help me in the publicity campaign I'm paying this chap Parkhouse to dream up. His office has got all my photographs and posters and biography. Jim, they're going to do a big thing on me.
Oh, really? From an enormous height, I trust?
Come. Oh, look, that'll be him now. Will you let him in, Jim? I'll take this dressing gown off and put on a jug of coffee.
All right. See you later, percolator. All right, I'm coming. Good evening.
Ah, good evening. Would you be Mr. Bentley?
Not for a pension, brother, no. I got enough trouble being Bachelor Edwards.
Well, my name's Parkhouse. I've brought some proofs.
You don't need proofs. I'll take your word for it, mate. Come on in.
Ah, well, thanks, Mr. Edwards. We're going to make your lucky friend into a nationally known figure. These photos, they're being sent to every single London daily.
Well, that's a nice idea. Give the old dear something to stand their buckets on, wouldn't it?
Not daily women, daily papers. Well, Mr. Parkhouse, what progress. How many times have you got my name into print now?
Well,
approximately, just a round figure.
A round figure?
Yes.
Naught.
You mean no publication has even mentioned Bentley?
Well, I wouldn't say no publication. We did find one mention of his name. I brought the book along, see?
Oh, thank you. Wait a minute. This is the telephone directory. You call that publicity just my address and telephone number. It's iniquitous.
I thought it was Clissold.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Bentley, but I think the only way we get you into the papers is by, well, some stunt.
Stunt?
Yeah, some angle. Now, let me think. Look, we have you starting a campaign to preserve one of Britain's historic landmarks.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. He is one of Britain's historic landmarks.
No, Jim. I see what Mr. Parkhouse is getting at. It's a great idea. Look, how does this sound? I go to the House of Lords, station myself in the gallery, and I shout out, "Don't let them pull down the Alhambra Theatre!" That'd cause comment, wouldn't it?
I think it would, yeah. It was pulled down 25 years ago.
What? And I left my tights in number 43 dressing room.
You won't find them there now, mate.
Well, never mind, Mr. Bentley. I think we're on the right track here. Now, let's think. I think I've got it. Heroism.
Heroism?
Yeah, that's what always catches the public imagination. Mr. Bentley, that's what we'll do. You'll save somebody from drowning.
By Jove, yes. That's it. Yes, and it's so me. That'll make me famous. I'll be another Grace Darling. Who shall I save?
Who better than Mr. Edwards?
Anybody. Now, if you think I'm immersing my body this time,
over in a few seconds, Mr. Edwards. Now, what'll happen is this. You take a boat out on the Serpentine. When you get near the bridge, pretend that the boat is sinking.
Oh,
Mr. Bentley, who just happens to be on the bridge at that moment, he will hear your cries, strip off his clothes, dive in, and rescue you from a watery grave.
Yes, superb, Mr. Parkhouse. Come on, let's do it right away. We'll make the evening editions.
Piper's evening. in papers. Serpentine. Serpentine sensation. Famous radio star in rescue bid. Serpentine sensation.
The doctor says you may see him now. Will you both go in, please?
Well, how are you feeling now, Bentley?
Oh, terrible. Oh, tell me, did it get in the paper?
Well, it did, yes, but, well, I'll read you what it says. Mr. Jimmy Edwards, the famous radio star, this afternoon rescued an unknown person who fell off the Serpentine Bridge.
Oh, doesn't it make you sick?
Well, it's your own fault, Mr. Bentley.
I was carried away, Mr. Parkhouse. I forgot I can't swim.
No need to worry about it now, old chap. The doctor says that wetting you got won't hurt you. Luckily, you're the drip-dry type.
And we have a really foolproof stunt this time.
No.
Animals! And what's the most popular and appealing animal story of them all? The one that never misses?
Well,
the rescue of a little pussycat what's got stuck up a twee. Oh, you see, I've got a little kitten on the farm. I'll bring it up tomorrow. Now, you've got that great big elm tree just outside your flat. Now, if you do the rescue about lunchtime, it'll give the evening papers time to get full detail.
Evening papers, evening papers. Sensation. Elderly gentleman falls out of a tree. Sensation. Papers.
The doctor says you may see him now. Will you go in, please?
Bentley, you clock. What happened?
It wasn't my fault. The kitten pushed me. Jim, tell me, did the papers mention my life story at all?
Well, I'll read you what it says here. This afternoon, an elderly gentleman fell out of a tree, narrowly missing the famous radio comedian Jimmy Edwards. Mr. Edwards, who is at present appearing with great success in pantomime at Streatham Hill Theatre, will be remembered for his many roles. And he goes on about my, you know, being a bachelor in the farm.
That's great, that is. And I've been lying here 2 days with my leg broken in 4 places. Why didn't you come and see me sooner?
Well, I'm sorry, Benny, but I'm glad I've been too busy.
Busy?
Well, I mean, because of all this publicity I've been getting. I mean, I've had the offer of 3 films and a tour of the United States.
You have? You, Mr. Parkhouse?
Yes, Mr. Bentley?
Would you please pass me that jug of water on the table?
Why, certainly. There you are, Mr. Bentley. Mr. Bentley, what are you doing?
Oh! Jimmy, bring the papers and tell them you've got the greatest story of all.
What story?
Unknown comedian, judge, publicity agent.
Lovely ladies of Milano, don't find a little harmless flame. That's why the rich Americano goes to Milano each spring. The lovely ladies of Milano will take a tourist on the town. And when a moonlight kiss commences, the language fences break down. Intertwined, quickly find ways to say it through me so much. And brother, you need no guidebooks to trace starry-eyed looks and a touch. The lovely ladies of Milano believe in love and brotherhood. They teach the rich Americano Italiano. Americano, go
Here, Mr. Clump.
Hey?
It's something I've been meaning to ask you for some time.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jed. I'll have a brown, I think.
No, not that, Mr. Clump. It's about that son of yours.
What, you mean Ron? The one-man depressed area?
That's him. Didn't he click for a raffle prize last month?
Yes, it was a valuable prize and all, yes. It was a 17-6 money voucher. Oh. Cashable at one of them shops behind the canal.
Which shop?
The tattooists.
He actually got a free tattoo.
That's what he did, Ted, a free tattoo, Ted. And here, what an emotional crisis that little bit of tattooing precipitated.
And why?
Ted, you have no idea what he had tattooed.
You mean it was near the knuckle?
No, it was halfway up his arm, actually, but it was what you might call the content of the tattooism. What was upsetting. Yeah. What he had tattooed were just three words. Yeah. But I cannot tell you how much distress and upset them words brought into the hearts of all of us. Especially Ron's fiancée, F.
Just because of what he had tattooed on him?
From the evening she had glimpsed of it, she was a changed girl. I'll never forget that evening. May I never drink another brown. I'll have another, thank you.
Right.
But she come rushing round to me and, oh, absolutely distraught she was.
Oh, Mr. Glum. It's just so dreadful. I can't believe it. My wrong. Leading a double life.
No, wait. You know that can't be true. He can only just about lead a single life.
You explain it then. Why else should he have tattooed on his right arm the words, I love Sue. Sue. And my name's Ed.
For heaven's sake, give over. For heaven's sake, stop that crying. You're bringing me corns on throbbing again. Now then, steady now. Let's get it quite straight. How is it that you happened to see the inscription, what was on his forearm?
Well, it was on the bus, and Ron was wearing that second-hand jacket you gave him. He took it off to see the time on his wristwatch.
What, he took his jacket off?
Well, after all, the sleeves are a bit long.
Well, you can't help that when you get a jacket off the peg. Especially when the coat room attendant is watching. So it was then, that was where it was it then? That was where it was, what you got a glimpse of the words, eh?
Yes, right across his forearm, bold as you like, in royal blue lettering. I love Sue.
Well, what does it signify? Here, blow.
No, Mr. Glum, put your tie away.
Now, look here, now, be reasonable. This here, Sue, well, I mean, she could be some film star what he's taking a fancy to.
No.
Or one of them singing sensations.
The only name you tattoo on yourself is somebody you really love.
Oh, so you think he's having a love affair with someone called Sue. If I just somehow, I can't believe it. My Ron, a wolf in cheap clothing.
Who is she? That's what I want to know. Who is she? When's he been seeing her? What is she to him? And how many more are there?
Now, let's keep our sense of proportion. Not silly questions like that. How many more are there? You know Ron. Now listen, it shouldn't be that hard finding out who this Sue is. Oh, wait. Yeah, I know. We'll look her up in Who's Sue.
Mr. Glum, this is hardly a fit time for inappropriate remarks.
Well, I'm just trying to exhibit my inimitable Cockney good humour.
Don't.
Very sorry, I'm sure. Well, now then, let's see. Let's think it over then. Logical. Sue. Sue. No, it's not really a name you hear much around these parts. All the local youngsters got names like Claudette and Lana. Or Carole. All except the boys, of course. But Sue, that's sort of a old-fashioned, isn't it, really?
An older woman. Oh, that makes it even worse. Ron playing fast and loose with a woman old enough to be his mother.
Now, hang on.
The deceit. Oh, the slyness. Him telling us he spends his afternoons just quietly leaning up against the Labour Exchange wall. When all the time, well, heaven knows what he's been leaning up against.
Just you control yourself. You're allowing your mind to run away. It's no purpose of getting overrun. I'll find out who this Sue is for you. Just leave it to me, yeah. I know, Ron. I shall elicit the information obliquely.
How?
I shall bash it out of him.
No, Mr. Glum. That you won't do. I have my pride.
All right, you bash it out of him, then.
I shall give him the chance to confess it off his own bat. I'll just lead the subject round and let him come out with it of his own voluntary free will. If you'll be kind enough to leave us alone on the sofa after tea, I'll use all my feminine wiles.
Ah, that's the stuff, matey. If you ain't got beauty, you gotta use brains. If you ain't got neither, get them old wiles working.
I will, Mr. Glum. From now on, it's woman against woman.
And may the best man win.
Ron, isn't it odd? I've had a tune running round in my head all evening and I just can't think of the title. I wonder if you know it, Ron.
No, eh?
I haven't told you it yet, beloved. I'll sing it to you. It goes, la, 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 la. La, la. La, la. Do you know it?
Yes, eh?
What is it?
It's the one that goes, la, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Ah. I know the tune, dear heart. It's the title.
Title?
Sweet something, Ron. A girl's name. Da, 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 da. Sweet.
Fanny Adams?
No, Ron, it's just a single name. It's a little name. A short three-letter name.
Oh, three-letter. I've got it. Art.
Oh, Ron, that's a boy's name. Would a song be called Sweet Art?
Yes, yes. Sweet Art, Sweet Art. Oh, ha, ha,
ha, ha. All right, Eth, I'll take over.
Oh, Dad.
Yes, Ron, it's your dad. My boy, excuse me butting in, but I couldn't help overhearing on account of how I was listening. Now, Ron, the time for shilly-shallying of is past. You've caused your dear fiancé here much mental anguish and torment of the mind. It's now up to you to make amends.
Amends what?
Amends nothing.
Nothing.
Just answer a straight question. Now get this obliquely.
Yes.
How do you come to have the words "I love Sue" a tattooed on your arm?
Oh, you found out.
Yes, Ron.
Come on, Ron. I'm waiting for your answer.
Dad, I can't tell you.
Oh, please, Ron.
Ron, it's no good pulling your cap down over your face. We're still here, and we're stopping here. Now, don't play the hostage. Now, come on. Why have you got "I love Sue" engraved upon yourself?
Dad, I can't tell you. I just can't.
Why not?
Because I feel so ashamed. Oh. I was foolish and weak. All started out as a bit of fun, and then I don't know what came over me.
Oh, Ron.
Don't ask me to say any more. I won't. If you'll excuse me, I'll go and take the dog out for a walk.
Mr. Glum, he's terribly disturbed, isn't he?
He must be. We haven't got a dog. Must be what they call a figment.
I don't know, but I can't let it rest. I must know more, Mr. Glum.
Now,
I must.
Now, listen, now, if you won't get it out of him, now. You can threaten all you like now. It wouldn't make one iota of difference. When Ron's got his obstinate face on, you can't shift him. You should see us trying to get him to finish his greens.
You mean, then, we'll never find out who this Sue is?
Well, I'm not saying that. There is one other person who might know who she is. It's a slim chance, but as the old adage has it, a shot in the dark is worth two in the bush. So come on in.
Oh, where are we going, Mr. Glenn? club?
We're going to that tattooist. Come on.
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. The Rembrandt of the electric needle. That's what they call me. Now, if you look through my book of designs, I'm sure something will strike your fancy. There's everything there from a portrait of King Edward VII to a trellis work of flowering dog roses stretching from clavicle to tummy button.
That's highly ornamental, I'm sure, mister. But we haven't really come here with the object of being artistically perforated.
Oh.
We're inquiring as regards if you remember a Mr. Ronald Glum, who needed an inscription on his forearm.
Ronald Glum. Oh, yes, had to take his jacket off to shake hands.
That'll be him, yes.
Oh, yes.
Please, would you please tell us why Ron wanted that particular name?
Oh, no, that I cannot do. I must not betray a professional confidence, I beg you. I'd be breaking my oath to the Royal School of Needlework, I would.
What part of Brixton do you come from?
Indeed.
I can't copy his accent, you know. Here, look here. If you're not going to talk willing, then you'll have to be made to.
Mr. Glum, put that needle thing down.
Now talk, or else.
Or else what?
Or else I'll write rude words all over you.
Oh, no, no.
Mr. Glum, did someone come in the shop?
Oh, dear.
Mr. Tattooist? You there, Mr. Tattooist?
It's
wrong. Keep quiet.
Mr. Tattooist, I want you to take back my tattoo and return my 17 and 6. Mr. Tattooist?
Mr. Tattooist? Dad? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so the tattooist has told you my secret?
Well, actually, Ron, he refused to betray...
Oh! I'm sorry, eh? Did that needle accidentally enter your thigh? Dear, 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 dear. Well, I never did. I'll pull it out now. Yes, Ronnie boy, he done told us everything. But we'd like to have the story again, please, in your very own words.
Well, it's nothing to be proud of. You see, when I came here with the voucher, I couldn't think of what to have.
So I helped him. I told him that what people usually have tattooed is I love, then the name of, the object of their affection.
And so the name you decided on, Ron, was this... Sue.
That's what I'm so ashamed about, eh? Like I said, I was weak and foolish.
What do you mean, boy?
Well, he got as far as S-U-E, and then I fainted.
Fainted?
He was on me funny bone.
Here, just a minute, Ron. Do you mean that I love Sue is not the complete message?
No, Dad.
Then perhaps, Ron, you'll at last tell us the full name of this... great love of yours.
Go on, then, boy, go on. I love...
suet pudding.
Give me that needle.
No,
I'll put the tattoo on him. Oh, dear.
Benevitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...